I'd like to today tell you about a very special person whose yahrzeit, it's the first yahrzeit, first year of her passing. She was, I think, a few months short of 100. She was a woman who, for the last number of decades of her life, not sure exactly how long, was blind. She was a person who never married. She lived by herself in an apartment that, if they wanted to do a movie on the tenement houses on the Lower East Side of 120 or 30 years ago, this apartment would have been the perfect scene. Like one of those, like, you know, out of the history books, the old fashioned, and nothing, it was really not updated, and the sinks with you don't see sinks like that anymore, with legs, you know, not covered, but just open. It was really, you know, lived like that. But what was very interesting was she worked her whole life until she became blind. She's a very smart woman. She saved and invested wisely. And she gave practically everything she had to tzedakah. That was her whole life. Just to give to tzedakah. It was like, that was the greatest pleasure. Towards the end of her life, when she she had fallen, you know, when you fall in your old age, it's very, very devastating. She couldn't move, she couldn't even do anything for herself, so she needed full-time help. And in all the years that I knew her, that's the only time she ever complained. What'd she complain about? Not about the fact that she couldn't move, that she couldn't even get onto the bed by herself. She only complained about one thing. I have to spend my own money now on the full-time aides, and I'm depleting my money, and I can't give as much tzedakah. It's the only complaint I ever heard from a woman who lived by herself, who was never married, who was blind for so many years, and that was the only thing she ever complained about. That I have to spend 24/7. I need, you know, 24/7 help, and therefore I can't give as much to tzedakah. That was the thing that pained her enormously. The name of this woman was Naomi Adir. I think it was Naomi Reitzabas Avrom Abba, was her father. Today is the first yahrzeit. And you know, on a yahrzeit, when on the anniversary of a person's passing, the neshama has special opportunity, the soul has special opportunity to rise higher and higher in its connection with Hashem in Gan Eden. And anything that we can do here to be inspired by the life of that person becomes a schus for that person's neshama, and it benefits it. And since she was such a major balas tzedakah, I mean, she gave so much to so many. She gave to us a lot over the years. And I think that that's something we should want to do. But I want to tell you something very interesting about her her appetite for tzedakah. You know, in this parsha, it says, when Yaakov Avinu was already going down to Mitzrayim, so it says, Ves Yehuda sholach lefonov goishno. He sent Yehuda to Goshen and lehoiros. And Chazal say, there's a few pshotim, but the Medrash says lehoiros means to start a yeshiva. They needed a base hoiroa. Before Yaakov Avinu had to come down to Mitzrayim, he needed Yehuda to go down to set up a yeshiva there, so there's a place where Torah could be disseminated, where Torah would go out from. It's very interesting. Yaakov Avinu was the Ish Tom Yoshev Holim. His whole life he spent in learning. He went to Shem Va'eva 14 years when he was 63 before he even got married. He was from the time, I would say, from the time he was still in his mother's womb, he was drawn to the Beis Medrash. And yet Yaakov Avinu felt if he goes down there with his family, the most important thing, more according to Chazal than setting up apartments and places for them to live, was to have a yeshiva there. And I just want to describe to you, in this woman's house, this Naomi Adir, her pride and joy, you know, it's like some people show off their children, you know, and if they don't have their children with them and their grandchildren, so they have pictures all over the walls, all over the tables, and they're showing off, this, look at my grandchild, look at my dad, look at my dad. This woman was 100 years old. She could have had great-great-grandchildren, never married, no children, no family. But she had something that to her was the equivalent. She had a room in her old apartment there where literally every inch of the wall was full of plaques from the different moistures that she gave money to, that she put it. You name the institution, and you could find that plaque there. And she would be so proud. She would know, even though she was blind, she knew where each one was. And she would say, oh, you see that one over there? This is from the Ponovish Yeshiva. See that? That's from the Lakewood Yeshiva. This is from this, this, and that. But what I found to be very, very interesting is it was mostly yeshivas. Here's a woman. She never studied in Beis Yaakov or in S. You know, she went to public school. She was a public school teacher. In those days, there were no schools for girls, religious schools. She grew up in a religious family, but and she remained alone her entire life, with no one in her life, blind for, it must be a few decades, 30, 40, I don't know exactly how many years. And yet she understood that the most important thing, like Yaakov Avinu understood, that even before Yaakov Avinu with his family and the Shivtei Kor were giants in Torah too, but the first thing he has to have is Yehuda must set up a yeshiva there, because otherwise Klal Yisrael can't survive. And this woman understood that. And her priority was to give money to yeshivas. She could have given to fancy organizations. Maybe she gave a little bit too. She could have done many things with her money. But yeshivas were the priority. And practically, from what I remember, you couldn't think of a yeshiva almost that she didn't have a plaque on the wall. And then that room eventually became too small. So it overflowed into the hallway and into the living room. I don't know, to all over the place. But and this was her pride. As one took pride in one's children and grandchildren, she took pride in her support of yeshivas. And the truth of the matter is that Rashi says this in Parshas Noach, because it's a very strange breakup of the psukim. The pasuk says, Eile toldos Noach, these are the generations, these are the descendants of Noach. So you would expect to hear, Vayolad Noach shloish shavanim ha-shemes chomes yofes, the names of his descendants, but no. Eile toldos Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. First it tells us that he was a tzaddik, and then only then it tells us about his children. And Rashi brings and he says, we learn from here, Iker toldoi sehem shel tzaddikim masim tovim. The main, the essence, the essential descendants of righteous people are their good deeds. So, and we're talking about Noach. Noach built the whole world. Everybody sitting in this room and everybody in this world today is a descendant of Noach. And yet, Iker toldos sehem of Noach, what was his main legacy that he left to the world? Not his descendants, not the billions and trillions and who knows how many people of all the generations and future generations, but his Maisim Tevim. Here's a woman who left her Maisim Tevim. She didn't have children, but to her Maisim Tevim represented Eile toldos Noach. Those plaques represented her toldos, her children. That's the way she felt. And she left over in the world so many accomplishments because of her generosity, kindness, and appreciation for the importance of Torah Chinuch. Because she understood, just as Yaakov Avinu understood, that Klal Yisrael, no matter how high its accomplishments in Torah, if it doesn't have yeshivas, there will be no survival. That generation, 100 years ago, before they started building yeshivas in the United States, so many people were lost. Because without the yeshiva, they don't even have the basics. So this woman understood that, and therefore I thought it would be a big schus to be able to focus a little bit on her. She gave so much, she did so much, She was so selfless. Never, never was there any covet. All she wanted was the plaque that should be in her house, so she should know and she should remember that this is what she did. No covet, no honoring at a dinner, no nothing. And get with such a passion. And it's very interesting. The last thing already, she didn't have money. She wasn't giving money because she had just had these full-time workers, and she, you know, I guess she had a whatever it is, but whatever money she had coming in, it was practically depleted. She needed to survive. But a few weeks before she passed, a month or two, I'm not sure exactly, I get a little letter in the mail, and it's a $900 gift certificate to Eichler's to buy Sforim. I don't know how she got it. She really wasn't spending money. Maybe she won it, or maybe once she won a raffle and she sent us a shas. She said she really has no use for a shas personally. So she said we have a shas in the yeshiva there that was sent by her. But this is right before she passed away. The last thing is, what? I don't have money now, but I want to make sure that there's Sforim to learn. I think that such a woman and her life and her dedication can be an inspiration to all of us about the importance of learning Torah, about the importance of building yeshivas, about the importance of tzedakah, and specifically tzedakah, that's machzik Torah, that sustains the learning of Torah. And therefore, I think that if we can take a little bit of inspiration from her life at this moment, it'll be a great schus for her neshama. And this is a woman who certainly deserves every benefit that she can in the eternal, that she can get in the eternal world, because literally she gave her life just for tzedakah and for achzakas HaTorah.